Hello, everyone. My name's Kat, and I'm going to lead us through the reading of God's Word. And we're starting in Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life." Our second reading is going to be in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Yes, Carola's right. Giving and receiving really is the heart of Christmas. And we give gifts all year round, of course. But there's nothing like December 25 when we wrap something up, put it under a tree or stuff it in a stocking. However, there are some things you just can't give. Carola can't give good jokes. We've established that. But things like a hug or faster running legs or, you know, losing 10 kilos or better confidence at work, or maybe another go at that relationship. But what if you could get something at Christmas that would make a difference? A lasting difference. Now that's a big claim that Christianity actually makes, because it claims that by receiving the person of Jesus, God's gift to us, it can make a world and an eternity of difference to you. And it's all wrapped up in something the angel said to the shepherds at Christmas time. In one of the accounts of Jesus' life, the Gospel of Luke, and if you'd like to read the Gospel of Luke, you can. We have copies at the back, which you're welcome to take with you. But on page 9 of the Gospel of Luke, the angels say, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born." These shepherds were invited to find a baby in a cot wrapped in blankets who would do something no baby has ever done or human has ever done: be a savior. Now, what on earth does that mean? Well, at a basic level, salvation is always from something and to something. 2 weeks ago, I was driving in the school car park. In front of me, a car had a flat tire on the right. And when they got out, I said, "You've got a flat tire on the right." And they said, "Oh, no," they had no idea. "Do you have a spare?" "No, I have to call the RAA." Now, the RAA will come and save them from the flat tire. But they'll be saved to a new tire, a new life, you could say, for that car on the other side of that. So to say that Jesus is a savior is to claim that he saves us from a life that will not count for eternity to a life of hope every day, knowing the best is yet to come. Save to Jesus as your Lord, and save from your own lordship or things and stuff to give you life and meaning and hope. Now, to explore this more, that's where the other Bible reading came in, and Stem helped us unpack that a little bit. But I want to introduce you to a man who lived the aspirational Aussie life. If he was around today, he would have had a nice house, he would have had nice toys, he would have gone on nice holidays, he would have been well off. And in fact, he was a nice guy because he would bring in your wheelie bin every week without even being asked. And if you forgot, he would go and get it and put it out. And this nice guy is a curious guy as well. And he wanted to know if Jesus could actually deliver on that promise of salvation. Is Jesus' lordship really good news? And so he asked Jesus, he said, Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Now, we might use the word inherit to refer to great, great, twice removed Aunt Betty's estate being divided up in the family when she passes. This guy's saying, Jesus, what do I have to do to position myself so I can get some of God's eternal estate? What does God require of him? Does he have to be really good? What do you think? You might say to your kids here, if you're at Carol's, you may have said to them, be good when we get to Carol's, and I'll give you a candy cane. And what you mean is, if you're quiet and you don't bother me and you sit still, there's a reward. But Jesus wants us to understand that that is not how God works. Which is why Jesus says, are you actually good like God? Can you really measure up to God's standard? And he wants him to reflect, and self-reflection is a good thing. And he says, here's what God thinks is good. And this is good stuff. Don't cheat on your wife. Don't steal stuff and look after your aging parents. Now, good stuff. And he says, I've done that. It's a boy. In fact, he's squeaky clean. You see, he's pretty competent when it comes to being good, isn't he? The trouble is, you can't competency yourself into God's good books. It might work with Aunt Betty. You might be very competent at your job. But it doesn't work like that with God. He's not against wealth or good things or anything like that, but Jesus came to save us from the illusion that that stuff would not only make God happy, but being good will count and give us life with him, because none of us have a goodness problem. And then Jesus takes him on the longest journey of his life, and it's actually a distance of only 5 millimeters. And he says, you still lack one thing. Sell everything, give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, and follow me. When we had babies, and maybe you have young kids and have a sound machine or a white noise machine, and we'd put it on so that they block out all the other sounds and they could sleep just hearing the buzz or the hum or whatever it was. And this is guy's issue. This man has filled his life with so many distracting things that his wealth was getting in the way, a bit like a sound machine or a white noise machine, from seeing how wonderful Jesus is. Because what really counts was if Jesus was more valuable than his wealth or success or the good things that he'd done. And when he heard this, if you notice the end, it says it was too much because he was very rich and he became very sad and walked away. Now, watching on is another group who are shocked. They're like gobsmacked, because if the rich middle can't get in, what hope do they have? And they thought Jesus would have commended him. Like, he should be the guy that got to heaven because he's nice and good and he pays his bills and he's got stuff. And they say, who can be saved? It's impossible, Jesus. And in a way, he is asking the impossible. But then listen to the great hyperbolic response. He says, how hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier, like easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Camel is about 1.8 meters high. Eye of a needle, 2, 3, 5 mil at the most, which is about a scale of 1 to 360. This is like the moment in Alice in Wonderland when she gets too big and can't fit through the door. Do you know that part? Well, this guy's been eating the cake on the table and gotten too big. And Jesus said, here's how you go through the door. And he says, I don't want to do that. I don't want to shrink down. I like the size I am. And all the people watching thought he was the right size. But Jesus gets it. It's hard. And it's okay because he says, I'm really good at making camels fit through eyes of needles. Listen to what he says. Truly, no one who was left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents for the sake of the kingdom will fail to receive as many in this age and in the age to come eternal life. Even if we let go to gain Jesus, we don't lose because God's economy looks different. That doesn't mean abandoning responsibility. Jesus just said, look after your parents. But it's valuing Jesus more than wealth, work, or family. And then going back to those places with Jesus as your Lord, that's the idea. Because the shepherds at Christmas, here's what they saw when they heard the angel's declaration. And listen to how they responded. They said, let's go and see in Bethlehem what the Lord has told us. And they went and they saw Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. You know, with everything going on this December, and it's a busy time, as Carola reminded us at the start, I reckon that you and me would do well just to reflect what Jesus says here. Because he asked this rich man, this nice man, he asked you and me to consider that the greatest fear is not failing, but succeeding at things in life that don't matter. Valuing things that can't save us. As a teenager, I was number two in the world of a video game for a while. Yes, can you believe it? Let me tell you what game it was. For 2 weeks, I had succeeded at number two at a game called Angry Birds. I took a screenshot to prove it. I was on the leaderboard, number two, for 2 weeks, and then I got beaten. And I had succeeded at something that means nothing, absolutely nothing. But you know, that's a silly example, isn't it? But it takes many forms in our life. It could be wealth or security or jobs or adventuring or time. The question is, do we make that our Lord? Do we look there for salvation and hope that will last forever? But the shepherds at Christmas, they saw Jesus and they went back to work and life. Remember this, they didn't just stay at the manger. They went back into their world with Jesus as Lord because it says they returned to the sheep. They didn't leave them, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, which was just as they'd been told. See, Jesus is a gift that does make a world and an eternity of difference. You never find him under a tree, but in a manger. And all you have to do is ask for Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Now, you might not be here yet, and I'm so glad you could come and hear and listen and sing. And so I'd love to invite you to take, as I said, a Gospel of Luke to explore the claims of Jesus for yourself, and also the other small book there, which unpacks Christmas and what it means a little bit more as well. But also, you're welcome to come back every Sunday. We're here, 10 o'clock, to hear more about Jesus and the claims of who he is from the Bible. Thank you so much for listening. It's been a joy to talk about Jesus for a few minutes with you.